The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Rich Wilkerson explains how honoring other people leads to a deeper intimacy with God.
So for me to overlook one human, if they're Muslim, if they're whatever they are, I'm overlooking the image of God. And when I started honoring the image of God in people who weren't like me, God started turning my life around first, and then started turning the lives of others around.
Thank you all. You're wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to have really one of our... this is like a family of friends. This is the Wilkerson family. And we have Rich Wilkerson Sr. We had Rich, his son, Jr. here. I mean, there's just so many Wilkersons. They're just everywhere. It's just amazing. And most of you know, the Wilkerson name became, I think, very, very famous beyond a household name in the Cross and the Switchblade with David Wilkerson. And all of this is family-related, connected. And the big thing is not just that it's a Wilkerson family, but they're family of the Most High. They're God's family. They are part of that great host of believers who have been born into the body of Christ forever as the part of the church. But the Wilkerson family has just been interwoven through our lives. From the time I knew his dad here when he was pastoring an assembly church. And it was quite a big deal, you know, for a Baptist to be going over to see the Assembly of God pastor and preach there and be friends. And it was almost like we risk our very lives to love each other. It was amazing. Well, the Wilkerson family has just touched people all over the world with the love of Jesus. And I thank God for them. Would you welcome Rich Wilkerson Sr. to Life? It's good to see you, brother. I'm glad to see you, man. We could have talked forever about all the beautiful things we've watched God do with his family, but also the relationship that we've enjoyed.
Well, you know, we're going to get into some stuff, James, but before we do, please, those of you that are watching, this is a prophet of God. And not everybody sees you that way because you're on a talk show with your lovely wife, Betty. But I'm going to tell you something, Brother James, you broke down some barriers 30 years ago that were God ordained.
Yeah.
And you opened the door for a lot of Christian people to say it's okay to love these people. And that was your way of honoring many of us in the Pentecostal world. And I'll never forget, 1980, you were preaching at a hotel here in Dallas. It was during the time that there was a big switch going from President Carter to President Reagan. And you preached a message. I told people forever that it was one of the three greatest messages I'd ever heard in my life. Still do. I can't say that I remember the other two, but I always say three because you gotta throw it out there. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, that lit me up. I was sitting there about 28 years old, and I was weeping while you preached. And I said, I got to get to know this man. And then you had me come and preach those great conferences at Tarrant County Convention Center and loved my dad. And oh my. And then you had my son on the show.
Boy,
the Robinsons are right next to Jesus. It's God Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Pastor James. Okay, anyway, so there we go. So it's a great, it's a blessing to be with you tonight.
Well, I want you to talk about the title. I mean, your church, I think we could sit here and talk about what's happening in Miami. And you've just planted another church recently that has exploded. And you said now, what, like 15,000 are attending your churches and campuses?
We started 20 years ago, James, with about 300 Haitian people, the old Trinity Church in Miami. And we just started growing, started loving people, started working with the homeless, those that needed food, those broken. Every avenue of poverty in Dade County we've been down through as a church over the past 20 years. God started blessing us in a great way and started to grow. And then our boy Richie, who you had on several weeks ago, Rich came in 2007, joined us, and was with us for 7 years. We had the plan when he came from school that at the 7-year mark, he and Don Cherry would plant a church towards downtown. They're 10 miles south of us. And then and that happened 3 years ago. My youngest son, Taylor, planted the same year in his living room in a little apartment in Harlem, a church in Trinity Harlem in New York City. And 3 months ago, my oldest son got a church going in Tacoma, Washington, in November. And my spiritual son, Terrence Wilson, who was with us for 13 years, African-American, he planted out of our church 3 months ago. If you put all of our churches together for Easter Sunday...
Broward County is where
he
is, right?
In Broward County, 10 mm-hmm. miles west of us, mm-hmm. Miramar, Florida. And then my nephews got our church in San Diego, Trinity San Diego. Anyway, none of that was going 20 years ago. And on Easter Sunday, we had 17,000 people. If you put them all together. Yeah, so God is blessed. And we have so many people that need Jesus, though. We just feel like it's a drop in the bucket. And we're not going to stop loving people.
Right.
When we first went to Miami, we went to the inner city, tough area of Miami. About 70% of the children that are born in our immediate neighborhood are born with the AIDS virus. So wow. It's a very difficult area. And we would get to the church on Monday morning through Friday, Rob and I, and there'd be a line of people at the door for food. And Rob and I would try to sneak through the people and get in the door and lock the door so we could build a great church. And so then we're praying, God, send us people. And so then we got convicted. So we started buying food every morning and bringing it to people. And we did that for 2 years till we were personally flat broke. And now we have no money and people are still wanting food. And I said, God, I'm trying to build a great church. God says, Rich, you don't even have to go out of the church. I bring them to you every morning, and you're stepping over them,
wow.
placating them with a little bit of food like they're nothing. And James, I laid down on my office floor that day, and I cried a little baby and wept, and I repented before God. And shortly thereafter, Robin wrote a contract for the city of Miami. They were offering day camps. You had to compete with money for money. And so we were broke. She goes, we're a church. Why can't we compete? So she wrote this contract. She won $175,000. And we had 500 inner city kids for 8 weeks, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Wow.
Monday for 8 weeks. And this year it'd be our 18th year in a row to have that day camp.
Wow.
And God has revolutionized. Rich came in. Rich worked through all of our pastors have had to work the day camp.
Wow.
And that's where they learn the ministry, buddy. I'll tell you. And those kids tell you what they think of you the first day, and it's not necessarily your personal initials. But within about 4 days, they're calling you dad. And
wow.
Just to see the change. And so we've just seen miracle after miracle. And this is really where we cut our teeth on honor. That I just finished 5 years of seminary, just finished my dissertation. I wanted to jump off a cliff because I was writing this book at the same time I'm doing the dissertation, going, dear God in heaven, get it a life, Rich. Please get organized. And in the middle of all that, I've had 5 years of seminary, Jim. Every theological course I've taken in 5 years, every professor has talked about Imago Dei. And Imago Dei is a Latin term for the image of God, Genesis 1:27. And every one of us have been made with the image of God in us. Bigger, I heard you talk to Pastor Ron a couple days ago. What a show that was, talking about his mom. Mm-hmm. But in his mom, here she was at 14 years of age, a prostitute, but in her was the image of God already implanted. Yeah. So for me to overlook one human, if they're Muslim, if they're whatever they are, I'm overlooking the image of God. And when I started honoring the image of God in people who weren't like me, God started turning my life around first and then started turning the lives
Praise
of others
God.
Around. Yeah.
So what do you want people to hear when you choose honor? Explain what you hope people get from that when they read the book?
It gets mixed up with respect. You look in the dictionary, respect usually has something about honor in the definition. You look at honor, usually has something about respect in the definition. But as I interpret it, respect is something I can do from a distance. I don't need to know you. I don't even have to agree with you, but maybe you've done something that's remarkable. So I respect that. Honor is something you do up close. Honor is something that costs you something. It's an act of your will up close. When I walk into a room, I've been the last 20 years, I've been in, most of my days are spent with people that I didn't grow up around. You know, in other words, they didn't look like me, not the same, you know, background, not the same ethnic background, not the same narrative of life. And usually I do my best to go to someone I feel is just not going to buy me at all. They're not into anything. I try to honor them at that point, James. And I believe
you
honor.
Noticing people even is a form of honor.
Oh, totally.
You didn't overlook, because Jesus said the overlooked are the least of these. And I know the minute I started noticing the overlooked, there was a sense of honor right there.
When I text fellow ministers, you know, or people that are in a different, you know, backgrounds, I always say, you know, I'm so proud of you. I just can't believe you're doing what you're doing. And they respond immediately.
I called one of the most famous preachers in the country. Everybody watching would know exactly what I'm talking about if I told you who it was, recently. And I said, my wife and I are watching you every week. You're in the late years of your life. You're a statesman. And I began to tell him what I saw. And it was as though he said, James, I don't think anything's ever hit me quite so hard. I don't even know how to handle it. You've been so kind and paid me such honor that you took this time. He says, I got to tell you, this is probably one of the greatest moments of my life. And I'm telling you, there's something about just noticing people. You know, we're going to give shoes away to little kids,
yeah.
And we notice their little feet. We notice their little lives. We want to bless them, and our viewers like to do that. Am I right? Is that touching what you're talking about with honor?
There's two Jesus components involving the act of our will, humility and servant leadership. Jesus always led with humility and servant leadership. Think of him taking his clothes off, wrapping around his waist, and leaning down and washing the filthy, stinking feet of those disciples who would all walk away from him in about 24 hours. I mean, fungus toes. I mean, Judas was. He washes their feet. And in the Middle East, that's the feet are the lowest part of the. You remember President Bush a couple years ago? He got that the Middle Eastern
shoe
throwing shoes
at
because that was the lowest form of dishonor the man could show him.
Yeah.
And so that was the Jesus style, humility. Servant leadership. When you walk in the door, humble in heart, serving, not wanting, not having a separate agenda. Man, James, this is one of the weirdest things, and I hope you don't mind if I say it. It never happens to me. I was in the hotel room getting dressed to come over here a few minutes ago, and the Lord spoke to me and said this. I've never done this. There's someone watching that you're on the brink of a $1 million deal. And you'll get it if you'll change your approach. You're getting ready to go in to see the person you're selling to, and you're going to tell them how great you are. You need to change your approach and go in, whenever it is, let them know what an honor it is to be in their presence. Thank you for the opportunity. They need what you have, but it's going to be the honor that'll make the sale. I think that's true in a lot of situations, James.
You know, you mentioned something to me that just kind of just knocked me out earlier before we came out here, that your son was in a coma. How old was he? 6 months?
6 months old.
What happened? Because you reminded
so,
me.
So I was in Cocoa Beach, Florida, doing a, back then they called them summer charismatic conference clinics. So about 300 people, we're on the beach, and I get a call from Robin saying, Rich, I got bad news. Our six-month-old Graham, those ear infections he had when he left on Monday, well, I came back from the doctors, and the doctors said he's fine, just keep him on Tylenol. And Rich, mom came to the house and said, take him to the doctor, now he's dying. She said, by the time I got him to the hospital, He was in grand mal seizures, got him in the hospital, died for 10 minutes. They were screaming, yelling, did cut downs on his ankles, shunts, the whole, everything. And somehow God brought him back after 10 minutes. And the nurse told my wife that, the doctor told my wife that night, as I was flying all night, they got me to the airport in Orlando, flew all the way back to Seattle, said, please pray. I know that you're religious people. She didn't know how else to say it. Please pray that your son dies. This boy will be deaf, blind, severely disabled, will lay in a crib at 40 years of age and drool. And we just didn't know how to pray death prayers. And I got home the next morning. My father-in-law picked me up at the airport, took me there, and we started a 16-day vigil. It just so happened, James Robison, that you were in Tacoma, Washington, doing a crusade at that time. I think it started about three nights later, and I'd been to hell and back, my wife and I broken, but I wasn't going to miss that crusade. You'd been such a blessing to me. And I was there with your associate, and he said, Rich, James wants to talk to you. So I came in the back. I said, what is it? And he goes, I got to come see Graham and pray for him, Rich. So James Robison, the next day, came down to the hotel. It was a 2 or 3 day meeting. He came in my little boy's bedroom in the ICU. And his hand is about bigger than my son's whole body. Just laid that massive hand on Graham and prayed the prayer of faith. And I got to tell you, we've been through a lot of stuff, but Graham is 32 years old today. And he sent me a picture because we've been redoing the backyard, and there's something that he wanted me to see, and so he sent it to me. And I looked at it, and he said, Dad, tell me, you like it? Yes or no? That's always the thing. Yes or no? I texted him back and said yes. So he's a blessing. He knows how to do the computer. He's even gotten his driver's license. We would never let him drive our car. I'm just saying. But he's just a miracle of God. And this man honored little peanut people. And he came and prayed for a little boy.
I want you to get this book. It's you can get it online. I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask you to touch some little kids. Yeah. Lives by touching their little feet and giving them some shoes for Christmas. Way ahead of time, I'm asking you to do this. I want us to pray for the viewers. You already talked to a man that you said has something going on. You really spoke to him. Father, I pray for everyone watching right now. I don't know what's going on in their life, but Lord, you know that I would drop down on my knees there, Jesus, in the room with them, lay my hand on,
Jesus,
their shoulder. I would want to touch the air of brokenness. And all I can do is pray and care, but through that prayer and through the supernatural reality of who you are, you can touch them in that area of need. And I'm asking you just to heal, yes, broken bodies, disease,
yes, God,
damage, miraculously,
yes,
heal.
God.
And Lord, I'm asking you to heal broken hearts, yes, and relationships. I'm asking you to work miracles in people's lives.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let them know how much you honor them by noticing them and sending your son to give his life that they might have life now and forever. So you meet their need in Jesus' name. I pray many of you will call and say, you know what? God just touched us. He did something in my life. You may want to call that prayer line there that's paid for by love and just say, this is what happened. Or ask them to pray with you there in the prayer center. And then I want to ask all of you to watch and look and listen to one of our missionary, our overseer of the missions of the world. And we're seeking to give little children all over the world shoes for Christmas and smiles, cleft palate surgery, facial deformity. This is something that you, our viewers, tell us that you really love to do. So today, I pray you'll respond. Watch prayerfully. Even as God touches you, you reach out and touch someone with love.
What if you could put a smile on a child's face by giving them something they have never had? What if, with that gift, you could save a child from getting parasites? And what if you could actually save the life of a child with that gift? You can do all these things by simply giving a pair of shoes to children around the world.
Today has been one of those special days because so many kids in this environment, they don't have any shoes. Haven't had. Many of them have never owned a pair of shoes. And the terrain they have to walk through and work in, it just tears up their little feet. It doesn't only make them sore, but they get diseases in their feet, climbs through their system, in their bodies, and even brings death. But today's been a good day. We're able to bring shoes to their lives, these life shoes that are provided by so many of our generous donors. And today, little Tuan here, he's gonna get a pair of shoes, and now he'll never have to go barefooted again. He can always run. See, he loves this stuff. He can run through the woods, wherever he goes now, with a good pair of shoes and not have to worry about infection. So I want to say thank you again to all of our partners for giving so generously. But this Christmas season, please, just want to ask you to give again so that you can bring change to little children's lives like Tuan. God bless you, and may you have a Merry Christmas.
And Ralph, I just want to say I love you. I know you just had to fly to Houston to get another visa to go back to Angola. And Ralph is spending Christmas without his sweetheart, his wife. He lost his wife. And it's a tough deal for Dad. And yet there he is, right back with a broken heart, but a love of God for these precious children. This is the kind of people you support. You support Ralph. You support missionaries like that. And Ralph is our overseer for life all over the world. What a wonderful expression of God's love. Betty, don't you want to see all these little children have the biggest surprise for Christmas? And we're asking God to give us 150,000 pairs of shoes for children. Isn't it fun to do this?
I love this special thing that we do at Christmas time. How precious are the precious feet of these children. And we've been there. We've been able to see the excitement in their little faces and in their hearts. They just dance up and down. First time they've had something to put on their feet to not only be comfortable with, but to be safe with, to protect their little feet from the disease that can come from all the cuts and scrapes and the diseases that get into their little bodies. I hope you'll join with us, and let's put smiles on their faces because they've got shoes on their feet, but also let's put smiles on the faces of those little ones that hadn't been able to smile because of a disfiguration, James, and that blesses me too.
Oh, I'm telling
you, so please join with us and help us.
Well, you know, when you see children smiling and then you see some that don't, I never will forget one little child. A lot of the children we saw in Africa had never seen themselves in a clear picture, like a reflection. And we saw children running up to see their image in a camera monitor. And as the camera pointed at him, and this little boy came up and he saw himself, and he had a horrible cleft palate, and he screamed and threw his hands over his face and turned and ran away. And it so touched my heart, I immediately looked at the viewers who saw that. And I said, why don't we give that little child a miracle? And did you know you gave the resources to take that little child from Angola all the way to Johannesburg and do the surgery and send him back home with a smile? Our missionaries were blown away. They said there were no surgeons there that could do this. We had to take him from all the way from Angola to Johannesburg, South Africa, to get the surgeons, and love did it. Betty, our viewers love to help.
Yes,
you're going to love giving these shoes. Now think about this. $36 will give 10 children a pair of shoes, 10 pairs. And for 180, and oh, how I wish many would do this, we can give 50 children a pair of shoes. Would you do that? Would you right now go and get your bank card, go online or dial that number and say, here's the gift God's put on my heart. And then remember, like Betty said, we can give those smiles, that cleft palate surgery, where there's a deformity in their face, we can correct that. The average cost is $500, $1,000, two surgeries. Would you provide that? Father, I pray everyone who can help will right now. You know, I believe it's way early for Christmas, of course. You say, why are you doing it now? It's a long way. Hey, because we have to raise the money, get the shoes, get them ready to ship, and get them into all the different locations in third world countries primarily, and be the miracle gift for Christmas. So please, get your bank card or write a check, make it to Life, dial the number, or go online and make the gift. we have some gifts to send you that are going to put a smile on your face to say thank you. Thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for your gift.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you can help immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 150,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes, a gift of $72 will provide 20 pair, and a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted green crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this keepsake boxed set of Life's Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request the beautiful Safe in the Shepherd's Arms bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, Betty and I have really enjoyed reminiscing family memories because we really are family. And we're family with you. And we want to thank you for really being family to so many people, like those that will receive these beautiful little shoes and the smiles, the surgeries. If you'd like to have Rich Wilkerson's book, I Choose Honor. Here's a man who's chosen that. What a beautiful family. Such an honor to know them and all that they've done as a family and a part of that great family. If you'd like to have this book, you say, James, if I help give some of those shoes, would you send me the book, Rich Wilkerson? Sure will. Just to say thank you along with the other gifts. Join us in saying thanks to Rich for being a blessing. Rich, God bless you. Baby. Love you. Thank God for you. Thanks for going back and reminiscing with you. Love you. And the bookstores, too. Thanks for watching Life Today. Thanks for sharing.
Next week on Life Today, former NFL player Scott Turner.
So my mother instilled in me faith in Christ.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.